You are listening to the Sacred Geometry Portal podcast, where each Monday musing plus one in-depth interview per moon takes you through the portal to the patterns of nature, the architecture of the cosmos, and to the divine language of our minds. Your host, Elizabeth Diane, expands your perception of the world and the awe of creation. With a light heart, she encourages an exploration to find the truth as it is evident to you. Every episode opens the doors to self-empowerment, demystifies the power of symbology and archetype, intersects relationships with matter and spirit, then circles back to ground in these seeds of life into the kind of wisdom you can apply to your being, soul, and purpose. Welcome to the Sacred Geometry Portal podcast.
Hello, Sacred Spheres, and happy Monday. And we just went through the 11/11 portal, which was November 11th. In the U.S., many people know it as Veterans Day. And to those of us kind of spiritual number geeks, it's 11/11. It's an ascension portal. It's an energetic that people enjoy tuning into and using kind of that frequency of master numbers. If you're into numerology, I look at 11/11 numerology numerologically as parallel lines that if two of them were rotated 90 degrees would create a square. One of my first TikTok videos was kind of demonstrating that. But simply speaking, my mind has been on oneness, one, lately, and how that works mathematically and visually in the square in particular. So I'll tell you the little rabbit hole that I went down this week after hearing that Terrence Howard had put out a statement that one times one equals two. We were taught one times one equals one. And his logic behind it, I can see what he's talking about. He's talking about a pattern that takes place when you multiply, you know, two times two and four times four and, you know, the numbers and the square roots. I can see that he's trying to fill in a space there with the number two, saying one times one equals two. Yet, I had to think about it. You know, I'm open-minded enough to say, is there something here? I'm still not convinced, but I'll tell you what did come up for me. It was like looking again at the rules of math. And with sacred geometry, math proves or disproves the geometry, but the geometry is the pure essence of what it is. If you have a form, it is that form. But if you're talking about a relationship of one form to the other, that's where math can sometimes be a useful tool in proving it. But there's also geometric proofs that stand upon themselves as self-evident in the same way that 1 plus 1 equals 2 is self-evident. If you just count two fingers on your hand, it's very self-evident, right? So I thought about the rules of addition. That's very easy and self-evident. 1 plus 1 equals 2. You can count them. However many you have, you can count them and verify. And multiplication is a tool for addition. It helps you with larger numbers and larger groups of numbers. And, of course, I was taught to look at squares and grids to multiply, right? We had a times table, and it was a square grid of numbers running the horizontal direction, numbers going the vertical direction, and you can find how many you have in one direction plus how many you have in the other direction, and you know, on the cheat sheet you find out how many there are, or you memorize the number, but you could count the squares and verify it, so it's self-evident. And thinking back in what Terence's statement was, you know, I thought, okay, if I disregard the number table, but I think about multiplication as an intent to help with addition, and I had one group of one, it's still one, right? But I also thought about the Pythagorean theorem. If you recall, the Pythagorean theorem says that for any right triangle, meaning one of the angles is 90 degrees, then a squared plus b squared equals c squared, where a and b are along the sides that are, you know, next to the 90 degree angle. And so the c squared is on the opposite or the adjacent side to the 90 degree angle. And if you have a square, then you would have a equal 1, b equals 1. So you'd have 1 squared, which in my math, it's 1 times 1 still equals 1. And b squared would be 1 times 1 equals 1. So you would have 1 plus 1 equals 2, and the square root of 2 would be the diagonal of a square. So that's an easy thing to prove, that the diagonal of a square is the square root of 2. But again, it's based on the definition or the intention behind multiplication, that you have one group of 1 as values for a squared and b squared in the Pythagorean theorem, right? So in a way, that's another basic self-evident sort of proof that we have that shows that 1 times 1 equals 1. Although I kind of like the way Terence was kind of meandering with it, kind of like, well, what if 1 times 1 did equal 2? Would we suddenly double or exponentially multiply the amount in our bank accounts if we applied that math like instantly to all of our banking? I don't know. Does it change the quantum realm? That's kind of where he was going with it. And I can appreciate somebody's open mind and looking for the patterns and what makes sense and everything. But I also wanted to circle back around and say that 1 times 1 still equals 1 if you follow the intent of multiplication to make addition easier, and you're not adding 1 plus 1 when you multiply 1 times 1. You're saying, I have one group of 1. How many objects is that? It's 1. Okay, Terence. I appreciate that, you know, he's going, you know, opening his mind to new viewpoints, and I encourage you all to do the same. But yeah, sometimes easy to either want to take sides, like say, you know, he's onto something, he's right, and run with it, or just to scoff at it and criticize him and not look at what's really there. Well, there is something behind a pattern that he's seeing, and patterns are behind everything in the universe, and he's talking about the potential of some sort of free energy. And so I'm like, hey, dude, if you can come up with that, I'm all ears. And in the meantime, I'm still gonna say that 1 times 1 equals 1. And wrapping that thought up, you know, when I think about creation, when I think about infinity and source of all that is, and how this realm is a holographic universe, meaning everything that's in the whole is also reflected in one part of the whole, and that creation in itself, in my mind, wasn't 1 times 1 equals 2. I could say that it's 1 times 1 equals infinity, but it was that 1 multiplied by itself, not a second object. Yet, we have this concept of mother-father principle of creation and duality. Is that because we're just projecting our own perceptions of duality onto Creator, onto Source of all that is? I kind of think so. Yet what happens, I think, as oneness, wholeness, source of everything that is, in order to experience itself, sort of did this unraveling of itself, this contemplation, this look at what am I? And that kind of gives birth to this holographic universe. So my individuated relationship with Source looks like two, looks like me and Source, but yet it's all connected and we're all one. So I don't think the multiplication tables deal with that concept too well, except to for us to play around in this universe with finite numbers when the reality is there's infinity. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that. Where could we take these concepts? Do they matter? I think it takes us back to Source and wholeness and oneness and acknowledging that we're all individuated expressions of the One. And with that, I say namaste and so much love. Oh, and I'm about to end this at 11 minutes, 11 seconds, 9, 10, 11.
This podcast has been a production of Sacred Geometry Portal. Dive deeper into the portal by subscribing at sacredgeometryportal.com. You can support the portal expansion through Sacred Geometry Portal's Patreon account. Infinite fractal blessings, and thank you for listening.